Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. I am so thrilled and so excited for today's guest. Today we are talking with Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas, and so often when I talk about an unlimited life and what are the tools and what are the techniques and what are the keys to be able to cross you to that other side so you don't have any barriers or any borders or any walls or any gates or any hurdles, that you know how to allow yourself to have that unlimited life and the unfoldment that you always know you were meant to have and the life that you've always dreamed and desired and that you absolutely deserve. And so often on this show, we bring on guests that are at the very pinnacle of their fields, at the very top of their fields, and they're bringing you all of these great techniques and ways in which you can transform your life. And very rarely have I had the opportunity to say, this person is my personal hero. This person is a mentor of mine. This is someone that profoundly, in the way they live, the way that they choose, their intuition, their connection to spirit, their connection to all that is, and the way that they choose to live their life is an inspiration to me and to everyone they touch. And today I have that absolute honor and pleasure in bringing Kathleen to the show. So I am thrilled, I am excited, I am elated to bring you one of my very favorite people on the planet, and certainly somebody that I know is making one of the greatest leaps and differences in the unlimited life field anywhere in the world today or through the history of all time. So, Kat, welcome to the show. It is such an honor, such a pleasure, and it's interesting because as I'm looking at your bio here, it's incredible because it says an intuitive dream and life coach, one of the busiest speakers and authors in the industry, and I know that to be true and just chasing you around the planet, and I love that, it's, that you are the go-to authority on the survivor to thriver, and I've never seen those words put together, survivor to thriver, and as a writer, I am so absolutely compelled and by words. I'm just obsessed with words, and so survivor to thriver in the health, wealth, and relationship fields by connecting to your inner guidance. And I know that you have taught at conferences, you've been on radio shows, you have your own radio show, you've been in health magazines, at events, you have survived 3 breast cancers, which to me is just unbelievable, and I know we're going to talk about that. And you wrote a book called Surviving Cancerland, The Intuitive Aspects of Healing. And I'm holding the book right now, and it kind of looks like Alice in Wonderland on the cover. It really does, and I can't tell you how many times I've picked up the book, and I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes I feel like just by holding the book, I'm receiving the information that's inside the book. Like, I don't even have to flip through the pages. Just reaching out for it is enough to be impacted and to receive the words of wisdom that are inside. So you are such a profound teacher, and I am so thrilled that you're with us today. So welcome, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Nicole. And yes, you're right. The cover of the book does look like Alice in Wonderland because, you know, surviving any crisis, whether it's health, wealth, having your whole life fall down around you, your lifestyle, because your dreams were warning you that there's going to be a stock market crash, or relationships, your you know, the love of your life is leaving. By speaking to your inner child, it kind of takes away the fear, and then you find that you can move forward into that unlimited life because our children don't understand limitations, you know, and so that inner child within that is often involved in our dreams is so important to connect to for an unlimited life.
Oh, my gosh. Now, this is absolutely amazing because I the words that you put together, I mean, I love survivor to thriver, and then I was also looking on your website, and it says access, awaken, and activate. Access Awakening. That sounds like a chant. If I was a cheerleader, you know, it sounds like if I had pom-poms, that would be Access Awakening. That would be the greatest cheer, but it's not just Access Awaken and Activate. It's Access Awaken and Activate, your inner guide physician within to break through barriers that hold us back from a healthier, wealthier, and more fulfilled life. Can we really do that?
Oh, absolutely we can. And I use those words in that order for a reason, because, Nicole, first we've got to access it. We've got to find that inner guidance. And we all have it. It's innate. We were born with it. It is a gift we brought into this world. And believe it or not, a fetus actually dreams. They've seen it on ultrasound. At 22 weeks, it starts to have REM, rapid eye movement. So this concept or belief that you have to be alive and aware in order to dream has been proved to be untrue. This is a gift that we're bringing with us into this earth plane from the other side. Because really, Nicole, what are those fetuses dreaming about if they haven't been born yet? It's got to be angels. It's got to be previous lives. It's got to be something from the other side. Their fingers are twitching just like a puppy. Their eyes are rolling back and forth, and they're seeing this on the ultrasound. So that tells me that before we're even born, we're in contact with that inner guidance. And we are all born with guardian angels and inner guides. We're their job. And they take that job very seriously. And the one way we can stay connected to them so that we have an unlimited life, so we can do anything, be anyone we want to be, is through our dreams.
Wow, that's so amazing. And I was looking at the list of dreams, and it's something that caught my eye, which I didn't even realize, and I thought that I was, you know, very learned into this world. But you said that there are seven types of dreams?
Mm-hmm. There are seven basics I talk about. Yeah, there's actually more than that, but I don't want to overwhelm the beginner. But, yeah, there's seven basics.
And so first, does everybody dream? Because a lot of people say, oh, I never dream, and I don't remember my dreams. And there's, you know, and then other people mm-hmm. say that they don't have dreams, but they have nightmares. But are nightmares mm-hmm. dreams too?
Oh, absolutely. And a nightmare is a call to action. It's a very important dream, Nicole. It is your inner guidance trying to get your attention because you've been ignoring it. And that nightmare, you know, there are two types of nightmares. Like I said, a nightmare is a call to action, but you can actually have a funny type of nightmare. Like I had a nightmare where my doctors turned into circus clowns. And it was really kind of funny for a second until I realized that my inner guidance, my dreams, my dream work was saying, get back to those doctors and tell them that what they're seeing on those mammograms is not health. And so that was a nightmare that was a call to action that got me to go back, and that's when I found I was in stage 4 recurrence.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. And you got that from your dream?
I got that from my dream. My dreams, my three dreams, diagnosed my three breast cancers every single time. The doctors missed them. And so that sounds so profound even to me. I mean, sometimes I have to pinch myself to realize that that really happened. But it caught the interest of a Dr. Larry Burke, who is a graduate of Duke University. He's a medical doctor. He was a radiologist. And he's actually doing this profound study, scientific study, Nicole, where he is calling for people who have had dreams that just diagnosed breast cancer, because, you know, doctors are very specific, and being a radiologist, he actually does mammograms looking for breast cancer. And he has realized something that, 30% of the women worldwide figured out a while ago, and that's that mammograms miss 30% of us, and I'm one of them. And so he was looking for people whose dreams diagnosed the illness before there was validation through medical science, and in my case, it was pathology reports. And so I'm going to be actually going up to Berkeley in June to the IASD, which is the International Association for the Study of Dreams, where I'm going to be presenting to about 500 doctors worldwide on how dreams can actually diagnose illness. So I'm going to be doing that presentation with Dr. Larry Burke. So anybody who's really interested in the medical field of dreams, the medical field is now getting very interested in that, check out IASD.com, and it's for the 2014 International Association for the Study of Dreams. But yes, my dreams did diagnose my cancer all three times, Nicole, and the medical community had missed it. If I had not accessed those dreams, then been aware of them, and then activated them, I wouldn't be here talking to you now.
That's amazing. Now, were you into dreams, or did you understand dreams, or did dreams guide you before they let you know about the cancer? Was that something that you instinctively or intuitively knew how to work with or utilize?
Well, kind of yes and no. I've always been a dreamer, and I've always loved watching my dreams. Basically, that's what I do, is I watch them.
Like
and
a movie.
But I've never had them give me quite this level of information. But that's because I was in a life crisis, which I'm sure many of your listeners are in. You know, in order to live an unlimited life, you've got to make sure that you're not in a life crisis. And because I was in a life crisis, my inner guidance, or those guides that I talk about in my book that I describe in detail and show how they came through these pop-ups in my dreams, much like pop-ups in a computer to give me this information, they didn't speak to me in metaphors. They didn't use universal symbolism. They spoke to me in words. They took my hand. They put it on my breast, and they said, "Can you feel that?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "That is breast cancer. Get back to your doctor tomorrow." And one of the guides actually handed me a feather when I started crying. And I said, "But I've already been there three times. They've given me three mammograms. They've given me three blood tests. They've given me three physicals, and they're not listening. If you want me to live, help me." And he reached into his pocket and took out an angel feather and said, "If you go back tomorrow and you verbally fence with that doctor using this angel feather as though it were a sword, you'll win. And get the test you need, which is exploratory surgery." Now, you can imagine, Nicole, walking into a doctor's office and say, "Hi, I want you to cut me open and explore my insides just because I think something might be wrong, even though all of your tests have told me and you that I'm healthy." And without that intervention from my guides, because when my doctor looked at me as though he'd been shot, and said, "I can't do that, Kathy. I can't just cut you open because you want me to. You have to think about the complications. There's infection, complications from anesthesia. I've got to put you under. And there's no reason to." Nicole, I went back. I imagined that guide standing beside me. I imagined pointing that feather at my doctor. And I said, "You have to listen to me. I don't know who else to go to. You know I'm not a hypochondriac. Help me." And it was like a vampire had walked into the room, you know, because we're seeing all these movies on TV now about these vampires who glamour people, and they go, "Oh, yeah, okay, I'll jump off the roof and land on my head." Well, he just kind of looked at me and said, "Okay." He go out and check my calendar, and I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, did he just say that?" And he did. He did the exploratory surgery, and I was in stage 2 breast cancer with it in my lymph nodes, and it was a very aggressive cancer.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. And then did the angels then guide you towards your wellness? Because I know that you use, as we talk about the words that you put together, I know you talk about the physician within and the doctor within. And from the very first time I met you, that's something that has stuck with my, you know, within me. That's a power that I always carry. And I always think that everybody has that, the doctor and the physician within.
We do. You're right, Nicole. We all have that physician within. And if you're listening right now and you think, well, where do I get that? It's already there. All you have to do is access it through your dreams. And the way you access it is, first of all, to set the intention before you go to sleep at night. I want to meet my physician within. Or you're having trouble in your relationships. I want to meet my Freud within. Help me with this relationship. Or I want to meet my financier within, my, you know, my Donald Trump, whoever your hero happens to be. I want to meet them within. And you will, because intention is the first step in manifesting. And it opens up the doors and windows before you go to sleep. And sends that, takes that message, sends it out to the universe, who makes sure that your spirit guides gets it, because the universe never sleeps, and they will show up in your dreams, and they will give you the answers that you need. We all have that ability. We don't have to search for it. It's there. We just need to know how to open the door, and that door is in our dreams. And the key to that door is your intention.
That's incredible. It's so profound to think that before we go to sleep, that you can just ask. I mean, it's an ask. It's not that you have to climb Mount Everest. It's not that you have to train for a marathon. It's not this arduous thing that you have to go out and build and design and whatever that is. It's an ask. And that information can be accessed and come to you.
Absolutely. And you know, Nicole, sometimes when things are just handed to us, that simply ask and you will receive, we brush it away. Just like we brush our dreams away. Nobody takes really dreams all that seriously. Yet if it's not a serious state of being, why do we spend almost half of our lifetime doing it? You can't live without sleeping. Sleeping is a way to access your dream world. Your dream world helps you work out your problems. If you can't work out your problems, then you're never going to move ahead in life. You're certainly not going to have the unlimited life that you would like to have. You're always going to be stuck in muck and mire. And one of the ways we work through our challenges, because life is a challenge, it's a learning place. And you're always going to be challenged. And one of the ways we can try out different scenarios and different solutions to find the one that fits right is through our dreams. Because there is always more than one way to the end of the answer. It is not only one path. You can have parallel paths, but which one's the right one for you? Which one will fit your life purpose? And that's how you access it, through your dreams.
This is such brilliant information, and so I want to go for our listeners that this is all new. This is, I mean, there are people that are listening to this that first are so excited, and then, you know, and we're talking about, you said there are seven types of dreams, and everyone dreams, and so let's start for those that don't think they dream.
Okay.
They never remember dreams, that I don't dream. So any suggestions that you can say this is the place to begin?
Well, if you don't dream, and you're sure you never dream, it's okay. You are not alone. There are so many people who don't dream for different reasons. Some of us are on medication, and the older we get, the more medication we seem to need. But and sometimes that can interfere with remembering your dreams. Know that, yes, you do dream. And one of the ways you can tap into those dreams that you think you don't remember is through your daydreams. And I think all of us daydream, and that happens when you're awake, but you're no longer focused on the task. Your mind is wandering, and you can also get there through meditation and prayer. You are awake, but your mind is wandering off somewhere else. It's almost like you need a break, and I always say that a mind that is wandering away is heading for the beaches at the ocean of gnosis. And that ocean of gnosis is the ocean of knowledge that accumulates from every soul and spirit on the earth plane and everything that has ever had life. When it passes over to the other side, it takes all those drops those little droplets of knowledge and puts it into that ocean. And that's where your spirit can go, your mind can go when it's daydreaming to get answers. It can submerge itself in the ocean of gnosis and come back with incredible information. You know, you're sitting at your desk at work and you're going, okay, I know I need to do this. I've been working on it for hours. I'm not getting anywhere. I just don't know what to do. And then you're sitting there staring out the window at a tree trunk, and all of a sudden you realize 10, 15 seconds is gone, but now you've got the answer. Where did that answer come from? Your daydream to the ocean of gnosis, the same place you can go in your night dreams. So if that happens, write down the information, because some other time during the day, your mind may actually take you back to a previous night dream that you should remember, because it will help you with your waking life. And that's how you can start accessing your nightly dreams, through your daydreams.
That's beautiful. It really is. When my parents moved from New Jersey to California, they, you know, packed up all of our childhoods, my brother's childhood and my childhood, and I went back to help. And my mom said to me at one point, she said, you know, honey, come here, I want to show you something. And she laid out on the bed my report cards all the way from first grade till the day I graduated in high school. And my mom said, do you want to see something astounding? And I said, yes. And she said, every single teacher that you ever had the need to tell us that you were a dreamer and that you were willful. And she said, and we don't know why everybody told us that. She said, you lived in our house. We knew who you were. You lived with us. She said, but every teacher found it necessary to let us know.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny, Nicole? Because when my mom died, my dad actually had saved, my parents had saved all of my report cards, and mine was a little different because I was a military brat who was born and raised in Europe because my dad was a Green Beret. So I went to 5 different first grades. Yeah. And I had 5 different first grade report cards, and they all said the same thing. It was just amazing. They said, they wrote on the back under the comments, the teacher's comments, if Kathy wouldn't daydream so much, she could get so much more accomplished. And I remember thinking to myself when I read that, I was accomplishing things better than I could have done if I had tried to make myself stay focused on a task that was not coming to fruition. I needed help from another dimension, and that was the dream world, daydreaming.
That's so beautiful. I love that. And I, you know, I
so we shared teachers
you,
who are going, they're dreaming way too much.
Absolutely. My friend Dave Ellis, who wrote the book Falling Awake, has a fabulous expression. He talks about napitating. And I love the word napitate.
That is great. Oh, that is wonderful. I do napitate quite a bit. You know, those little cat naps, because if you're listening in, my friends all call me Cat. So if your listeners are here, their family, you can always call me Cat. So I love my cat naps.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so, so incredible. And then when you're talking about dreams, I know that there are books, and I've heard the term lucid dreams. And is that, can you describe what a lucid dream is to, you know, our listeners?
Lucid dreams are where you know you're dreaming. And the thing that is so fantastic about a lucid dream, Nicole, is you can control the outcome and change the past. It is the only way you can actually go back and change the past, which will put you on a different path in the present, and you'll see the difference in your future. It is an amazing place to be. I had a client who called me up and said, you know what, I am never going to sleep again. And I said, why? And she said, I have been having a recurring nightmare, and I've had it. I every time I close my eyes, I have this lucid dream. And I know what it's going to be the minute I see myself sitting on the couch in the living room in the dark, watching TV with my husband, and there's a knock at the door. And my husband stands up and I yell at him, no, no, don't answer the door, because I know that I'm going to have that recurring nightmare. But he ignores me and he goes over, opens up the door, and my father steps in and I scream. And then he says, Linda, I love you. And she says, then I bolt awake, and I wake up in an absolute sweat. I'm shaking. I can't go back to sleep. And so I'm not going to bother to go to sleep anymore because I'm going to be awake anyhow. And I said, well, Linda, what is it about that lucid dream that is scaring you so badly? Your father, or him telling you he loves you? Tell me what is bothering you. What is that snippet in the dream that is causing you the emotional response you're getting? And she says, well, I said, is your father alive? And she said, no, he's dead. And I said, well, is that what's frightening you? She says, no, actually, I was glad when he died because I didn't like him. She says, I never liked him here when he was alive. He was mean. He was physically abusive. And she said, and the fact that I hadn't seen him for years before he died, never spoke to him, and now that he's dead, he's showing up in my life. She says, I'm so angry at him. She says, how could he do that to me? Don't tell me. I don't want him to tell me he loves me because I don't believe him. And I said, okay. I said, let's talk about this. At some point, in order for you to be this upset in your lucid dream, Daddy's little girl is the one watching him walk through the door. Yes, I believe it's also a visitation from your father, because now that he's been on the other side, he realizes the things that he did to you in this lifetime has molded your relationships. So are you having trouble with your husband? She was quiet for a minute, and she said, well, yes, we're talking divorce. And I said, okay. So it's interesting that he's going to open the door. The husband within you is going to open the door to bring this message from the other side in to change your life. She said, so what am I going to do? Tell me what to do. I said, try this. The next time you have that dream and you hear the knock at the door, tell your husband you're going to go. And I want you to get up, walk across that room, open the door, wait for the message, stay asleep. And when your father says, Linda, I love you, I want you to look at him and say, Dad, I love you too. Because, Linda, if you didn't love him, you would not be responding like this. You wouldn't care. So it's time to use this lucid dream to get you unstuck in this relationship with your father that is affecting your marriage and your life and your health. So she said, well, I don't know if I can do that. And I said, well, do you want to continue to have the dream or do you want to get rid of it? And she said, I want to get rid of the dream. I said, okay, then you've got to do that. So I didn't hear from her for like a week. And then she called me up and she said, it happened. She said, I was in the living room sitting on the couch with my husband. The knock at the door came and I remember starting to panic. And I told myself to stay asleep. And you can do that. You can tell yourself to stay asleep. You know you're sleeping. Stay asleep. That's all. Just that command, and you'll do it. She said, I walked to the door. I opened the door, and she said, my dad stepped into the room. And she said, he looked at me, and he said, Linda, I love you. She said, I can't believe it, Kat, but I threw my arms around his neck, and I said, Daddy, I love you too. She said, the dream ended. I didn't wake up. But when I did wake up the next morning, I felt wonderful. And she said, I've been happy ever since. And I haven't had the dream anymore. And she said, you know what? I'd like to have it again. She said, it felt so good. So she actually, through that lucid dream, Nicole, she went back and changed her relationship with her father, which adjusted her relationship with her husband, because she was reflecting what she was feeling from her father onto the male figure in her life, which was her husband. And they have started to work things out, and she hasn't had that recurring nightmare anymore. And that tells me that that was a visitation, because there were some validations to that lucid dream that told me it was more than just a dream. It was a visitation. Her father was in his prime, and after we die, we go back to the best years of our life. And also, He knew that she was in crisis with her health and her relationships, that he was somewhat responsible. And so he came to help, and he kept knocking at that door. And in order to do that, Nicole, we have to get permission from the other side to come back in spirit, in the dreams, to make amends and to try and help someone get over the blocks we put there for them. And they did that. And so, you know, she saved about 10 years of therapy, and God only knows how much money, by simply connecting with her Freud within through that dream. She look at the play on words, Nicole. She was sitting on the couch, Freud within, watching the TV, watching your life go by. When there's a knock at a door, permission to enter with a messenger. It's all right there in the lucid dream.
That's amazing. And then I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that brings me to a question that, so if there's a door or the feather that you're saying, or one hears a church bell, do the symbols mean the same for everybody? That people say,
no.
Oh, I'm naked, or
they're different, Nicole, because we're all individuals. And so our personal dream language, just like our fingerprint, is going to be individual also. It's going to be our dream language. We were born bilingual. We have our daydream language that we learned from our parents. And we have a nighttime language that we learn from our guide within. Our dreams will teach us. If you tell them, look, I really want to learn this language with you. I want to be able to know what you're saying with universal signs and symbols, and signs and symbols just for me, just our language. And they will bend over backwards to help you learn that language, and they'll work so hard to learn yours.
That's beautiful. It really is. And so that unfoldment that you're talking about, a private or a secret or a language that is instinctive or innately just to you. And so when you were sharing about the feather and your guide that gave you a feather, which to me, just even saying that, just something, it's like energy runs through my body in light, just the fact that you are that blessed, and what a beautiful symbol to be handed. And so I know that you talk about that we all have unique, authentic inner guardians. And so can everybody access those inner guardians that are working with them or sharing information or helping us take the next steps in our life or unfold to a higher, more beautiful, and more profound place?
Oh, absolutely. They want to do that. That's their whole purpose for being with us. They have no other job. We're their job. So all you have to do is set the intention. You see, there is this very, very strong law that governs everything that happens on the earth plane. It's called law of permission. And that same law is universal. The guides and the spirit guides and your family on the other side are not allowed to come back here and bother you. They have to get permission. They have to get permission from you. And they have to get permission from your higher power, which is God, Buddha, whatever you want to call them. They cannot just show up. They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to interfere with you. In one way or another, you have acquiesced and asked them to come into your life. Well, and sometimes we do it without even realizing it. But once you give that permission, they will do that. And one of the things I encourage all of our listeners to do is before you meditate, before you pray, and before you go to sleep at night, I do this every single night, Nicole. I surround myself in a protective mirrored light that is of the highest and best, and will only allow that which my spirit guides will bring in. Everything else is reflected from whence it came, and it does not involve me or touch me in any way, shape, or form. And if you do that, you know that the information that you get will be of the highest and best. It's going to come from your guides. It's going to come from your higher power, and it's going to be there to give you the unlimited life that you'd like to have and to give you the answers to challenges that you are in the process of working through. And yes, everybody can do it. Before we're born, we sign a contract, I call it, with the other side, all of our family on the other side, and it's gigantic, on what we're going to accomplish in this lifetime, what we're going to do, and why we're going to do it, and why we're coming in. We never just happened. Even if your parents tell you that you just happened in the back seat of the Ford, it's not true. You just chose that opportunity because it was fun. But no, we have a purpose. None of us just happened. And so our guides came in with us. That's what that fetus is doing in the mother's womb. It's still connecting with its guides saying, okay, I understand. That's what I need to do. And then when we are born, we go through that great forgetting. And it's important that we forget, Nicole, because if we remembered how beautiful the other side is, how much easier it is, we'd all be jumping off of bridges to get back. We have to forget. We've got to forget that wonderful vacation in Tahiti or whatever in order to get back to work. And that's what we're doing here on the earth plane. We're working, and we don't have to work alone. We shouldn't be working alone. We need to connect with our guides because they'll keep us on the path that we chose before we got here.
See, I love that, and I love that it's their job. I mean, that's such a great image to say, okay, it's their job to be able to help us, and what a fabulous job to be able to guide people to their higher purpose and to light and to the angelic realm. And I know one of the other things that just touched me so deeply was that you were talking about the heart-to-heart connection with your guides and with your angels. And So how does somebody have a heart-to-heart connection with their guide or their angels? Because just thinking about that just fills me. I mean, I'm smiling ear to ear like a Cheshire cat just even saying it. And I'm sure that people just through the airways are feeling that, the idea of the heart-to-heart connection with your guides and your angels. And when I read that, you know, coming from you and coming forth, I just thought, oh, yes. And so I would love you to talk about how to do that and what that means and how that can impact your life and the kind of life you can live by having that kind of connection.
Well, the easiest way to do a heart-to-heart connection with your guides is to tell them that you love them. They already love you. You were born with their unconditional love, because they said they would come down onto this difficult earth plane whenever you needed them and help you through any situation you have. And they're going to be there for us at our last breath. Nobody ever dies alone. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, nobody lives forever. We've all got to step over to that other side. And when you do, those guys that you worked with on a day-to-day basis on the earth plane are going to be right there waiting for you going, yay, you did it. We did it, because you're a team. And that is that heart-to-heart connection where you are not just using your brain, your left brain and your right brain to think about them. You're using your love, because you can't always take your thoughts with you back to the other side. You kind of leave those here, just like you left your thoughts on the other side when you came into this earth plane. But the love that you have in this lifetime for the people you met and the guides that you worked with is love that lasts forever. And you can take that with you to the other side. And that love recognizes the love on the other side, even if your body looks different. But fortunately, our guides, when they come to us, in our dreams, when we make that heart-to-heart connection here on the earth plane, they take a form that you can see and love. Something that catches your attention and makes them stand out from the rest of the people in your dream. They're always there. They're always guiding you. They're always within hand's reach. When you're frightened, when you're going into a nightmare, you hold their hand and they walk you through it. Because remember, a nightmare is a call to action. It's something that you need to do so you won't forget Who can forget a nightmare? You can forget a wonderful dream. You can wake up and say, ah, I had a wonderful dream. Don't remember what it was, but gosh darn, I feel good. But a nightmare can be a gift in disguise, and it can be a call to action that says, red flag, you know, pay attention to this. We have symbolism in here that is unique to you. Learn it because it's going to come in the next dreams that are following. You've reached a crossroads. Don't take the wrong path, whether it's in your health, your wealth. Are you going to, are you going to invest with the wrong person or the wrong way? Or is there something that you just need to look at in that contract? They'll red flag it. Or a relationship. Are they saying, you know, let's go a little slower. Yes, this is Mr. Right for right now, but he may not be Mr. Right for the future. Maybe this person is what you need to learn right now so that the next one you meet will be relationship 201. And without relationship lessons 101, you're not going to be able to jump into 201 and do well. So that's that heart-to-heart connection. They want us to be successful. Nothing makes them happier because when we're successful, they're successful. And that brings us to the idea of why should we write down our dreams and follow the guidance that our inner guides give us. Because when we do that, Nicole, and when we as humans say, yes, your guidance was right. Thank you so much for giving me the answers and the wherewithal to solve this challenge. We're rewarding them. Imagine if you're listening and you're a parent, and you keep saying to your teenagers, do not go out with so-and-so. So-and-so is bad news. Or don't be out after midnight. You know, the boogeyman will get you or something, anything. And your kids go, they just keep ignoring you and ignoring you and ignoring you. Are you going to continue to tell them? Are you going to continue to warn them? Are you going to continue to try to guide them? Or are you just going to stand back and watch them get mugged at midnight or watch them go through the painful relationship over and over and over again? Or if they turn to you as the parent and say, you are right about so-and-so. I learned that quickly. You're so smart. Thank you. And you're right. I know that it's dangerous to be walking down a lonely street by myself at midnight, you know, for obvious reasons, but thank you for reminding me. Aren't your parents going to continue to be on your side and guide you because of the experiences they've had in this lifetime? Well, your guides have experiences from multiple lifetimes, all of them. And if you thank them when they give you that information in a dream, guess what? You're going to get more. And that is the heart connection.
That's a fabulous answer. Thank you for that. And I know that there's such a joy, there's such a happiness in that. And that was such a great analogy to use the love of a parent. And especially as you're saying, that's, you know, an angel or a guide that has lived many lifetimes and has the wisdom and the knowledge and the infinite information of the all that is. So it's not just their own mind, their own consciousness, the consciousness that of the past lives they've had, but they are connected to all of consciousness. And therefore, the energy that's coming forth is just so much better, so much more powerful, so much more brazen, so much more brilliant, and so much more intentful in really helping us make decisions and choices and guiding us towards safety and light and really that joy and unlimited life that we're talking about.
And, you know, you are so right, Nicole. And, you know, another thing about guardian angels, they are different from our guides. Our guides are teachers on this earth plane, and they often look different. Guardian angels can sometimes take the form of someone that is pleasing to the eye, but our guardian angels are here to protect us. They are your protector. And when you make that heart-to-heart connection with your guardian angel, who will introduce themselves to you, or one particular one who is an angel warrior, there are so many of us right now who are going into very dark places to help people who have lost sight of the light. They're lost souls wandering around in the dark. When you've got your guardian angel by your side, you can go into the darkest recesses of anywhere and know that you're safe because you're bringing the light in. And when you have even the smallest candle in a giant cave of darkness, guess what? That cave's no longer dark. And the darker the cave, the more brilliant the light. So that's why it's so important to make that heart-to-heart connection with your guardian angel, because if you're doing important work on this earth plane, which I know all of your listeners are, or they would not be listening into your program, you need your guardian angel by your side, and they want to be there. You're their job, and they take that job seriously. Make that heart-to-heart connection in your dreams, and you might be afraid. I mean, there have been times where I've been a little frightened, but I immediately call out my guardian angel's name, and the most incredible warm feeling of security comes over me, and I know they're there. And then I can do anything. I have the wherewithal and the confidence to walk anywhere because I know I'm not walking alone.
And I love that you talk about the light in the cave. I remember Julia Butterfly Hill, and Julia Butterfly Hill was the woman who lived in the trees to prevent the tree cutting. And I remember she had said at one point that if only one person in the world had hope, only one person in the world had hope, that hope would exist on this planet. And I never forgot that. So I love the idea of even the smallest light in the darkest cave illuminates light. I mean, that's just, it's such a beautiful image. And so I love that, you know, this is your calling, and this is, and then you're, not only is it something that you live and embody, but that you share this information so generously and with such compassion and such care and such intentionality. And I know that you travel the world helping people, and that your book has made such a difference in so many lives. And like I said, even when I'm not reading the book, just looking at the book, there's just something about the book that I know that there's information inside that can change my life and open doors that I've never, you know, had the opportunity to go through before. So it's just so beautiful. And for those that are listening, because I know, and it's a difficult subject, but it's something that I know that you share, that you've survived, you know, breast cancer, three breast cancers. And so how does one survive? As we talk about going from the surviving to the thriving, how does one take those steps and know what's happening with your body and still be able to transmute that and allow yourself and trust, like you're saying, you're not alone, to be able to step forward and cross that line?
Well, that's a great question, Nicole. And I've always said that, you know, remember to connect with your inner child and play. Laugh. Have a good time. Make sure you laugh every single day, because laughter is medicine. So you want to laugh till it heals, and then pass that laughter pill to somebody else who needs it. You know, find a good joke. On my Facebook page, Surviving Cancerland, Aspects of Healing, I can't even say it myself, Surviving Cancerland, Aspects of Healing, I put a daily giggle up there every single day so that the people who are fighting cancer, health issues, relationship issues, anything that's bringing them down, will read it and laugh. And that is medicine. And then I ask them to pass the pill, put it on their page, so somebody else will take that laughter pill and put it on their page and pass the laughter.
That's a great thing to pass. I absolutely love that. I really do. I remember that I was up in San Francisco for the anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge. And we did a hug line across the Golden Gate Bridge where you would hug them and turn to the next person, hug them all the way across the bridge. And even people that were driving by would honk and cheer, and they were embodied and embraced in a hug, even though they mm-hmm. were in their cars. And so it's the same thing, because if you're passing the laughter and that joy to one person, and that one person, it changes their whole day. So everybody they meet, whether you're passing that giggle, you know, via email, or just the fact that it's inside of you, and every single person that you touch and every life that you come across that day is going to be touched by that laughter and that joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you were actually doing a heart-to-heart on that bridge. You were hugging. That you can't get any more heart-to-heart than a hug.
Just absolutely beautiful. And
it is.
I love you're doing that. Now, when you were going through that your entire cancer journey, and I mean, three times, it just seems so overwhelming to me, and you were so much my hero, and I think you know that, and we've talked about what a huge inspiration you are to everybody that you meet. And were you working with doctors at that time, or were you working with your spirits, or were you teaching doctors the process of healing along the way?
Actually, I was working with my doctors, and I was working with my spirits, because it's important to remember, and for those of you who read my book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, my guides did not say, excuse me, go find Swami Wami Rama Lama Ding Dong, because I would have gone looking for him. They said, you go back to your doctors. So this was what I was destined to do when I came down here, was to go and teach doctors during a time when higher power and intuition and listening to yourself and being an active participant in your team of health was being ignored. Going back there and teaching them how to listen to their patients and realize that science can go so far, and then comes your higher power. No matter how much the doctors do with science, if they have not connected to your higher power, or you have not connected to your higher power, in order to be on the right path, you may be wasting your time. So everybody, you have to work with your spirit body at the same time the doctors are working with your physical body, because we're not just physical body, we're both. We are humans that inhabit a spirit, and a spirit that is inhabiting a human. So we have to work with both. And the doctors need to come back and realize that. And I think they're starting to with the IASD that I'm going to be speaking at.
That's so fabulous. And just the fact that they're open now, and society mm-hmm. is open now, and that we have so many opportunities to be able to explore and experiment. It's like this great adventure. It's almost like this island show that we're all on, the big island show or something, and we're all given these treasure maps that we get to go off and find our own inner treasure, our own inner health, our own inner wealth, whatever that is, our own inner fulfillment of joy and happiness and that heaven on earth experience. And I love the fact that you're taking the doctors with you this process and teaching the doctors, because I think that obviously when we've interviewed a lot of doctors on this show, and I always ask people when you were little, when you were 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, and other people want to be astronauts or they want to, whatever that is, firemen or Miss America or a movie star, did you know that you wanted to be a doctor? And they always say yes. I've never had one doctor that I've interviewed that didn't say, well, I was always helping people, or I was always healing people, or somebody got whacked with a hockey stick and, you know, I would be the person helping them off the field or whatever. They want to help. If they did not want to help, they would not have become doctors.
And oh, so, absolutely. They love their patients.
And so truly to give them more tools and better ways and other ways and alternative ways to heal and to help, and what heroes they become to say, look, you're well, I did it, that's fantastic. And there's a pride and a great joy in making somebody well.
Oh, there is. And I think one of the things that really ties the doctor's hands, if they did not love the patients and they did not love what they were doing, they wouldn't do it, because the hours are long and the amount of schooling they have to go through is profound. And they, you know, forget sleep. I don't know how they ever dream, because most of them run on like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And then comes the fact that they're going to lose a certain amount of patients. And that's got to affect you. You know, you work so hard. You're rooting for your patients so hard, and then they die anyhow. But, you know, they have to work within hospital policy. And hospital policy dictates a lot of what they can do as far as requesting tests or procedures they can do. So one of the things that my book does is teaches the reader how to circumvent hospital policy. Because hospital policy is there for a very good reason. Every hospital has to have it, because that's how the hospital generates income. And if the hospital does not cut costs and generate income, then what's going to happen is it's going to close its doors, and the doctors aren't going to have somewhere to practice, and the patients aren't going to have a place to go. So it's necessary, but at the same time, you have to know how to circumvent that hospital policy and help your doctor to circumvent it when you need treatment that is against hospital policy. It was against hospital policy to do exploratory surgery. Okay, my guides and I and the doctor circumvented that. You know, we all had to work together to get that exploratory surgery. And then when I knew that the cancer was back, which was horrible, and I was really angry about that, Nicole, I was so mad at my guides, I wouldn't talk to them. And I told them that if I died and got up there to heaven, they better warn God that I was coming. That's how mad I was. But the doctors were using mammograms again to watch for recurrence when it didn't even work the first time. And when I asked them about it, they said, well, you know, mammograms are only as good as the people who give them and the people who read them. And now that you're here, we have the best doctors in the world giving them and reading them, so you're covered. And I started having those nightmares again. And that's when I had the clown nightmare. And I went back and said, I want an MRI, and I ran into hospital policy. And my doctors were saying, it's not hospital policy to give an MRI when there are no signs or no symptoms for us to give it or to test for. And I said, isn't the fact that I had breast cancer already that wasn't picked up in mammograms reason enough? And they said, no. So, you know, my book shows you how to get around that hospital policy, how to stand in your power, speak your truth. You don't take no for an answer. You don't let them dismiss you. And you're that squeaky wheel till they give you whatever you want just to get rid of you. And they show you exactly how to do that. Okay, and then they're happy.
And then how does somebody find your book and find you? Because I know now there are people that are listening to this show that are just, oh, my gosh, this information is exactly what they need and what they've been looking for. It is the golden chalice to their life. And so, and I can tell you it's just the most precious, beautiful book. So, but I would love for people to be able to find you and your work.
You can go to my website, which is www.survivingcancerland, just like Wonderland, Alice in Wonderland. It's survivingcancerland, which is all one word, .com, www.survivingcancerland.com. And right there on the right-hand corner, you can click, and it will take you right to my publisher, which is Cypress House Publishing. It's also on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's going to be in a lot of health food stores because NutriBooks picked it up. So it will be very easy to get. But the easiest way is to either go to Amazon, because I'm going to be having my big Amazon book launch the week before Mother's Day, because unfortunately, mothers and breast cancer go together like peanut butter and jelly. So fortunately, my book is going to be that jelly that's going to help those slices of life slide down a little bit easier. So it's very easy to find my book, and I would love for anybody to give me feedback on it.
Oh, that's great. Now, you also lecture, because I know that people, you know, have organizations. We've got people all over the world that are listening to this show. There are people listening to this show from Malta and from South Africa and from France, and hello to everybody out there today. But you travel all over the world to speak, so people can also invite you to come and to speak at their events and at their conferences, because I know, as you're saying, that you're going to be talking at this Dream Conference and to the doctors, that you really have the skills and the techniques and the tools to help teach people really how to make a difference in their own life and in the lives of their patients and their clients as well.
Yes, so if you would like to get a hold of me, I would love to teach or speak at your conferences or just spread this word. It's something that needs to get out, and I'm happy to do it, and I do it in a light way. Even though this is a very serious subject matter, I do it in a way that's going to keep it light enough and use that pill of laughter to help people through the difficult parts of it. And I do have different skills that I teach, but also that I show you how to use them on an everyday life basis. So you can get a hold of me right from my website, the Surviving Cancer Land, and also accessyourinnerguide.com, and I would be happy to come and talk at any of your events.
That's just, it's so brilliant. And I want to ask you about the bridge, because you said you were mad at your guides, that you warned them if you came to heaven, you know, that they better watch out. And so how do you get unmad at your guides? Because I'm sure you're not the only person that's been mad at heaven because they lost a child or because something happened in their life or because they're sick. And so how does one get unmad, and how do you make up with your guides?
You have to do it the same way you do when you're mad at your husband, when you're mad at your children, when you're mad at your partner. You got to talk it out. And that's exactly what I did. They came into my dream, and when I saw them, I put my dukes up. I was ready to just go into a boxing match with them. And I said, why me? You know, why twice? Once wasn't bad enough, but twice, that's like punishment, undeserved punishment. What did I do to deserve this twice? And stage four, what are the chances of me surviving this? And I remember my guides were just standing there looking at me, and then one of them started to chuckle, and I said, he started to chuckle when I said, I know I'm dying, and so you tell God when I get up there, I've got some really big bones to pick with him. I'm pissed. You might want to get there before I do, just to warn him. And one of my guides started chuckling, because they really don't laugh. They're pretty serious. They look like Franciscan monks. So, you know, they were just standing there looking at me, and the one guide said, Kathy, don't you remember? And I said, remember what? And the guide said you wanted, before you were born, you said you wanted to come down here on the earth plane during a time when the medical industry was worshiping science, and higher power and God was being taken out of everything. And you wanted to show the world that science goes so far, and then comes your higher power. And you said you would do this three times, because the chances of surviving cancer once with dreams, okay. Twice with dreams, now we've got your attention. Three times, that's like winning the lottery three times in a row. Luck had little to do with it. Divine intervention did. Let's see them try to pick this apart. And we told you we would be with you every step of the way, and here we are. And I remember looking at my guide and saying, what was I smoking up there when I said I'd do that? Because I must have been out of my mind. And they really started laughing then, and I woke up.
How brave and courageous you are, and what a hero's journey. And how truly, you know, selfless for you to say that up in heaven and to come down and to be able to help people by showing them firsthand what that looks like. And then one can survive, one can connect to the heavens in such a beautiful way. I mean, truly, it's such an amazing journey that you've been on, and that I just adore, absolutely adore who you are. And I love that you speak out the way that you speak out. And I know that one of the things that you were talking about is one of the biggest health challenges that we have today. And so what do you think that is for the biggest health challenges that you're saying science can only go so far? And so when you're sharing this information with people, what do you want them to know?
Well, that, hello?
I'm here, yes.
Oh, okay. It just got so quiet. I thought maybe the phones had gone out again.
Oh, all the heavens were waiting with bated breath. You could hear a pin drop. The heavens like, yes.
I think that the biggest challenge the medical industry has today is believing in things they can't see, feel, and touch. And that's the spirit of people, and this inner guidance that we all have, and how this inner guidance needs to be part of the medical team. I mean, can you imagine going into, you know, a roundtable discussion with the heads of everything in a hospital and saying, hi, my name is Kat Cannabis, and I brought my inner guides with me, and we're going to sit down here and be a part of your team. They're listening, but they're from the other side. You know, I don't think they've quite gotten there yet, but believing in that which we can't really see, feel, and touch is one of the most difficult things that the medical industry still needs to come to and say, there might be something to that. Yes, the medicine healed them, but the medicine worked with the spirit, and the spirit stayed.
Perfect. That's a perfect answer. It really is. And when you talk about the angels and the guides coming to help you, I know that we have questions of people that are listening in, and as I'm looking, can pets be our guides too? Can our pets come back and comfort us in challenging times?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my baby Cakes was my furry nurse while I went through all three of my breast cancers. And he was a Siamese, he's a Flame Point Siamese, and he would get up in the middle of the night when I would have to go to the bathroom all night long from the chemotherapy, because I took conventional chemotherapy along with working with my guides, because again, my guide said, go back to your doctor. And then what I did was I mixed conventional medicine with holistic medicine, with spiritual medicine in the form of dream therapy to come up with a healing that was greater than the sum of its individual parts. And my baby Cakes would go into the bathroom with me and sit on my feet to keep them warm in the middle of the night while I was on the toilet, and then he'd get back into bed with me. And I had such horrible ringing in my ears from all the medicines and all the chemo and the radiation that I wouldn't be able to go to sleep. It would keep me awake. And he would get behind me, and he would wrap his little paws around my neck, and he would lay his head right on my ear that was up, and he would purr so loudly that I wouldn't be able to hear the ringing anymore. And within 4 seconds, I'd fall asleep. And he stayed with me through all three of my breast cancer treatments, which was a treatment consisting of 10 years. It took me 10 years to get through all of this. And when he finally died, when he knew that I was well and I wasn't going to get this anymore, and I had had a dream that told me I was well and I wasn't going to get it anymore, he died one morning at the ripe old age of 27. And he still shows up in the house all the time. When I'm questioning myself, when I'm getting ready to go on a radio show or a TV show, and I'm saying something like, this is crazy. I can hardly believe this myself. How can I expect somebody else to believe this when I went through it and it's so unbelievable to me? And suddenly I'll feel him rub up against my leg. And it's like, I stayed alive for almost 28 years to help you stay well so you could do this work. Get going. I'm here. Your guides are here. You're never alone. I never left you alone, and I still haven't. And I really believe, Nicole, that that's because our soul can change anything in the earth plane. We can manifest a difference. And so I believe that all animals have a spirit within them, but I believe that when we really love a specific animal as though it is a child, it is our child, we give a little piece of our soul to them, and that connects us to them forever. And when we die, they're there waiting for us.
I know that for so many people that's touched them so deeply, because people do feel their pets once they pass. And then they think they're crazy. They're like, oh, now we're going to tell anybody, but I know that they were here. And, of course, they were there. And so I love that, you know, you still feel your cat with you. And it's 27 years. That's amazing. I had a dog that crossed over that was 1 week shy of her 20th birthday. And I remember
That's old for a dog. Wow.
And the night that I knew that she was passing, I was crying. And I had named her Tara because she was my grounding. Every time I would, you know, start to go, she was the one that I would just look at her and I would be so present. And a friend of mine called me, and I was crying. And he said, what's going on? And I said, I think Tara is leaving tonight. And he said, honey, baby, she's 20. If she's a person, she'd be on the Today Show. And I started to laugh. I said, thank you for making me laugh through my tears. But I didn't realize what it was for 20 years that she was beside me and gave me that much love and that commitment to being with me through the process of all of these journeys. And it's true. It's just it's so incredible. And as you know, talk about the angel spirits and your guides and our pet guides, can dreams overlap?
Oh, they can. Our dreams really, really do overlap. You can have, you know, and that brings in the precognitive dream, which can be lucid that you remember. And in a way, it can be a nightmare because it's a call to action. It's telling you something. And it can actually warn you. You can have a dream, a precognitive, lucid nightmare that is allowing you to be prepared for an event that's going to happen. Let's go back and talk about our pets, just to show how these overlapping dreams can work. And one of the ways you know that it's true, again, with lucid dreams and prophetic dreams, is the validation in the earth plane, because you're receiving this information from the spirit plane or our spiritual plane or guidance plane or dream world. So when Baby Cakes, he was getting ready to pass over, and, you know, he was getting old. Let's face it, it's sort of like your dog. I knew he was getting old, but I remember when I had taken him to the vet to get his teeth cleaned, and the vet called me up and said, we just found a cancerous growth on his tongue, and we don't think that he is going to live much more than maybe 4 months. Why don't we, instead of waking him up, why don't we just put him to sleep? And I said, no. When he's ready to go, he will simply go. He'll let me know. And so I want you to wake him up, and I am going to come and get him. And she said, well, we could remove the tongue. And I said, no, we're not going to do anything at all. And so this was just with my first cancer that this was going on, and I remember just being so devastated. Here I've got the cancer, and now my beloved little Baby Cakes has the cancer, and on and on and on, and here we are. He's doing nothing, but I'm going through treatment, and he's taking care of me while I'm trying to take care of him. It's really kind of a comedy show when you look back on it. But the night before Baby Cakes passed, in the middle of my dream, my regular dream that I was having, I had a pop-up. And in this pop-up, my guide stepped through and handed me baby cake. And the dream that I was having was what I call my epic dream. It's like your entertaining storybook. And the dream stopped, which happens when you get the pop-up. My guide stepped through, and he handed me baby cakes. And he said, I want you to carry baby around with you tonight because this is his last night with you. And I said, what? And he said, yes, this is going to be baby's last night, and we know how difficult this is going to be for you. So we want you to carry him with you through all of your dreams. So I did. I carried baby through all the other dreams because we have 3 to 4 to 5 dreams a night. And the next morning when I woke up with a start. And I was getting ready to go play tennis. I jumped up and looked at baby. He was fine. He was on his little rug in front of the fireplace. And I said, breakfast, everybody, to see how he would respond. And he got up and marched into the kitchen and ate his breakfast. And I went in and got dressed. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that was just weird. Why would my guides give me that dream and just drive me nuts all night driving around, carrying around baby when he's fine? I came home from tennis and looked at baby and said, how are you feeling? And he fell over. And I picked him up and I said, baby, are you okay? And he looked like he was in pain. And I said to Peter, I think baby's got an infection or something. I was in denial. As a parent, you're always in denial that your child is dying. That's just human nature. So I immediately wrapped him up in a towel, and baby was our alpha cat of our family of 4 cats. We took baby to the vet, and I said to the vet, the vet goes, this cat's 26 years old. What do you want us to do? And I said, I want you to run a blood test because maybe it's just an infection. And if I give him some antibiotics, maybe he'll get better. And I remember they brought the head vet in and they're both standing there looking at me like, this woman is totally in denial. And they said, okay. So they took him out and they ran a blood test and they brought him back in and I was holding him. I had him on the table and I was singing to him, singing all his favorite words like mouse, treat, baby cakes, and I was singing it to the song Mary Had a Little Lamb because he used to always purr to me when I was in pain, so I figured I'd sing to him. And the vets came in and said, all of his organs have shut down. He's already halfway to heaven. So I remember it's difficult when we lose a child. It's funny because I can talk about my own pain, but when I talk about his, it really, really bothers me. The fact that he would be in pain just sent me up the walls. And so within a few minutes, he was gone. But the point is, the guides let me know this was going to happen because they knew not only was I not going to take it well then, but it was going to affect me for the rest of my life because my baby cakes was my child and I was losing my child. And I know that there are a lot of other people out there that have their pets and they feel the same way when they lose a pet. And so when you're going through that, whether it is truly your child that's very ill or a pet, our guides can be such a heaven send. They can let us go through that in our dreams to prepare us so that when it really happens, it's still devastating. But I was able at that point to stay in the room with him, for him, until he passed over. Everybody else left. And without those guides letting me carry him in my dreams and preparing me, I would have never been able to do that. I would never have been able to do for him what he had been able to do for me. So maybe he was, connecting with his spirit guides, and they said, you're going to stay here with your mom until she's well. We're going to give you that amount of time. So from the time that the vet told me he had 4 months, he had another 9 years.
That's incredible. Oh, my goodness. And what a powerful story, and thank you so much for sharing, because I know how impactful, and I know how many people are connected, as you're saying, to their pets and to their children, and as you say, they are exactly like children in our lives, and this fact that you were guided through this process is just so amazing and such an eye-opener for people to realize that we can be connected, and by listening to our dreams, how much information we are given and how guided we are and how loved and nurtured and supported we are on this journey here on this planet Earth. And it's just, I so appreciate you sharing your journey and your story. And I know that we only have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, first tell you how grateful I am for you, because I hope you know that you were just one of the most beautiful people on the planet. And I know that you have four rules for living a fulfilling life. And I was wondering if you could top off our show with your four rules for living a fulfilling life.
Absolutely. I would love to. First of all, my first rule is learn. Never, ever stop learning. Use exercise and use your brain every single day. Keep your mind really sharp. The second one is a really important one. Adjust with the changing times. So adjust. Keep up with technology. It's not might makes right. It's not survival of the fittest who survive on this plane, on the earth plane. It's those who can adjust to change. And then the third one is stay in the middle of the road of life. It's common ground. And you can reach out and hold the hand of people on both other sides, the left side and the right side. Be that connector between the two. Be the person who brings others together. Stay in the middle of the road. That's your common ground. And then remember, absolutely, the greatest wealth in the world is your health. So give yourself time to play and connect with your inner children. They love to play.
Kat, thank you so much for being with us today. And tell us one more time your website and how to find you and this remarkable book, Surviving Trauma and the Intuitive Aspects of Healing.
You know, we changed the title. My publisher changed the title to Surviving Cancer Land. So if you're looking for Trauma Land, it will just redirect you. But it's www.survivingcancerland.com. And that's how you can find it. And you can find me the same way. And I would love to know that you were listening to this show. So please drop me a line on my Facebook page or just on my website. I'd love to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. And for those of you that are listening, by just picking up your telephone and punching in 55678, so simply send a text message to 55678, and the message is simple. Just put the word Nicole in the message line. You can download a copy of today's interview right into your phone, and you can carry it with you and hear it over and over again anytime you want to learn how to access your dreams, your guides, your angels, your spirits, and certainly all this amazing, profound information on truly how to use your intuition and your dreams to go from surviving to thriving, which is one of the greatest gifts that can ever be offered. Okay.
And Nicole, I've also got a gift for any of your listeners tonight. I have a free gift on my website, the Surviving Cancer Land website, and it is a free mini dream guidebook. And it will teach them how to take their dreams and start using them right now, including how to remember their dreams. So that's free to all of your listeners today. If they just go to my website, it's on the right-hand corner. They just put their email in, and it's theirs.
Thank you so much. Now I know everybody's just jumping up and racing to get that. So thank you for being with us, and thank you for the amazing work that you're doing in the world and for the time and the care and the commitment and the love that you offer to everybody that you meet. And this journey, and thank you for the commitment you made even before you came here to teach this information and survive this incredible, remarkable journey. so people know that it can be survived and it can be done, and that we can listen in a whole entirely different way, and that we can be open to access and information, and mostly that we're never alone, which I think is one of the most incredible keys and takeaways of today, is to know that we are not alone and that we do have access to information and guides and those that are helping us through every step of this journey.
Thank you so much, Nicole, for having me on your show. I have loved this. This has been wonderful. Thank you to all your listeners for taking the time out of their busy day to listen to my story. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we look forward to having you on again. So, Kathleen O'Keefe, Cannabis, thank you. Truly a magical, magical gift. Wow. What a beautiful, 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 beautiful interview. What a remarkable woman. What an incredible, heroic journey. The messages, the tools, the techniques, the keys to be able to step over that doorway, to step through those thresholds, those places in ourselves that we consider dark, and actually allow them to be light. Just like Kat was saying, that even the smallest candle in the darkest of caves provides light, and that we can access our dreams, and that we can ask before we go to sleep, just set the intention. I want to meet my inner physician. I want to meet my Freud within. I want to meet my guide within. Whatever that is, that it's simply to ask and you shall receive, that all of this is available for you to live the unlimited life that you know that you deserve, that you desire, that you have dreamt of, and that you have come here to live. So great gratitude and thanks today to Kat and for her amazing work. We have so many exciting people lined up for you. And if you are joining us tomorrow on our show, we are interviewing Jody Myers tomorrow, and she's incredible. She is a childbirth and family filmmaker. She actually films childbirth, and she films the early years, the time that you have with your children, those magical, mystical moments. And next week here we are talking about green energy, and I know that that's a subject that you're all very interested in, how to be able to literally have your house have green energy, be able to change your light bulbs, be able to lower your utility bills, and be able to live a happier, healthier life. And as always, this is Nicole Brandon wishing you an unlimited life, and may all your wishes and dreams come true.